This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% on select styles. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like strawberry lemonade and extra strength fan fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Your station for the best Ravens coverage.
Bringing the team to the fans.
It's news from the nest.
We're grateful for our media. We really are, most of the time.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now from Window Nation, buy two windows, get two free, and pay nothing until 2027. Offer ending soon. Schedule your free estimate at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Welcome back, Vinny and Haney. Did I just hear John say he's thankful for the media? John Harbaugh said that?
Most of the time.
Most of the time. I remember one year in training camp, he didn't like the fact that a lot of us wore in flip-flops.
So,
really? Yeah, he mandated not just tennis shoes, but black tennis shoes for everybody in the media. Football coaches are control freaks. I don't have to tell you that. Not a lot of news coming out of Owings Mills right now. It's a downtime, Vinny, before as they go into the draft. What are Eric DaCosta's days made up of right now, do you think? You've been through it.
middle of March. Pro days. A lot of pro days right now. Probably going out. Coaches are going out to pro days. Eric probably, if he doesn't go to pro days, probably watching film. Working on draft type stuff. And probably looking at other... Maybe working on other free agent deals that they're still looking at. You know, I'm still guessing that a veteran corner. You know, oh, and we forgot to talk about now Jake Hummel, who from the Rams, the special teamer
signed. Right,
his dad Perry Hummel, was at Iowa State with when I was there.
Really?
Yeah, Perry was a wrestler. And Perry, I'm almost positive Perry was national champ.
Okay.
And my roommate at Iowa State, football player, but he was also a wrestler. He was at Des Moines Dowling where Perry Hummel wrestled. And my roommate, Brian, Neil. He was state champ along with Perry Hummel. And then they needed a heavyweight, so my roommate Brian at Iowa State wrestled his freshman year and I think sophomore year at heavyweight. So, like, all my buddies, you know, like, because I was left him a message the other day when Jake Hummel signed, you know, so Perry's going to come, Brian Neal's going to come, and then Kelly Ward, who was national champion wrestler too at the time, he lives in D.C., so they're all going to come now because Jake's here.
We've heard a lot about the Ravens being up against the salary cap hard. This wasn't, not a lot of people talked about this, but fairly quietly earlier this week or late last week, they got Marlon Humphrey to take to restructure, and they created $13.39 million out of that. It reduces what was an $18 million salary for this year to the NFL minimum of $1.255. They converted the rest to a $16.74 million bonus, and they also added 2 years. He was scheduled to have a $25.38 million cap hit this year. There's all kinds of creative things you could do, and so they go to Humphrey. Do they have to go to Lamar from now on, do you think?
They can. You know, I still think that the one that's coming, and, you know, you talk about what Eric's working on.
Yeah.
I would think he's working on an extension for Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Because what's he making, like $7 million, and Barkley's making 20.
Yeah.
So he's going to get that. They'll probably pick up maybe a little cap room that way, too. But Derrick Henry's going to get paid.
He never gets hurt. If you're DaCosta and you sign contracts, I'll knock wood for that too. How many years would you give him and feel safe about it?
Well, what they've been doing is they've been adding void years on,
right.
You know, because what it does is lowers the cap number basically, you know, because it prorates over more years. So I'd feel comfortable Henry playing for two more years.
Okay. Two sounds about right.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine them without him. And you know, you think of how good they were last year with him in the lineup, but then the year before, they were just as good without him even on the roster. It kind of boggled the mind how he was able to transform this offense, even when you have a player like Lamar.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't have 1,900 yards rushing. I mean, this offense was, you know, crazy good because there was so many weapons.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing about this offense, because, you know, I mean, Bruce, we were talking about it, you know, the other day. You weren't here, but, you know, when you look at the guys they have on their team right now, because you were saying, you know, with D-Hop, you know, what are you expecting from D-Hop? You know, Lamar threw for 4,100 yards. There was only like four quarterbacks that threw for more yards. So, you know, because we're saying Bateman's going to take a jump. All right, so Bateman gets another couple hundred yards, and, you know, your tight ends take a little bit of a, you know, I mean, basically what you need from your third receiver is like 400 yards at max.
I've been saying 25 catches. If they get 25 catches out of D-Hop, then it was a really good move.
Yeah, 25 catches for 300 yards or something like that. Yeah, because if we want, because Bateman's going to have a better year than he had this year,
right.
But he had 700 yards, you know, but he'll have more targets and catches, I think. Keep Zay the same, you know. Andrews had 55, likely had 40-some. You know, Justice Hill had 20-some. So, I mean, there's not a lot of room for a lot more balls, you know, because you say, okay, is Lamar going to throw for 4,500 yards? That's what? The only way you can.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Or if somebody got hurt.
Right. One other thing I want to mention to you, Ardarius Washington really stepped up and played a major role on his team, but they gave him the smaller tender, 3.3. It's worth less than the second-round tender of 5.3. What does all that mean?
Well, they're going to draft a safety,
okay.
You know, so he's going to be the third guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing, I mean, you love Ardarius, how he played and everything.
Yeah.
He doesn't catch the ball great. You know, he had some drops, but he's 5'9".
Yeah.
You know, and
he plays bigger than that, though.
No. When I saw him at training camp, and he tried to cover tight ends, like Andrews, just like, you know, swats him.
Okay.
You know, so the thing, you know, what you got to look at, and I'm sure, and what Eric's looking at too, is you know, all of a sudden, you got DK Metcalf, And you got the other big dude. You know, you got two big receivers in Pittsburgh. You got two great receivers in Cincinnati. So your division, you know, are you going to be playing a lot of double safety? And, you know, I mean, if they were to get that Emmanuel, who's 6'3", you know, safety, you know, along with Kyle Hamilton, who's 6'4", or Starks, the kid out of Georgia, who's a real good center fielder, who's 6'0". So that's kind of, you know, they're going to have to upgrade the secondary because the receivers, you got to, how do I win my division? You know, the receiving crew is pretty good now.
Speaking of your division, what in the world is Cincinnati doing?
Well, they're re-signing their guys, you know, what they said they would do.
How much is going to be left?
I don't know. Is there anything left for Trey Hendrickson? That's the thing. You know, I mean, because, I mean, you're paying, you know, your two receivers, which they score a ton of points, but they can't stop anybody.
Right.
And if you don't have Hendrickson, your best defensive player now is gone. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see, but defensively, they've got serious issues.
Be like the 96 Ravens, a bunch of 41-38 games, you know, but you got to kind of tip your cap to their balls. You know, that's too really high money for the same position. A lot of your salary cap, I don't know. I've always kind of wondered how the Bengals do things, and they continue to mystify me. You know, I don't know. Seems like a lot of eggs on that offensive basket.
They don't like to spend cash, but they did.
Yeah.
They did. And if you've got the quarterback that you've got your window, and he's taking you to a Super Bowl, you're all in on your offense. I mean, so they've got the thing that they haven't done is they haven't drafted well. That's the problem.
No.
They've drafted like crap on defense,
right.
And they've got no players on defense. So they've got a hit on their draft picks defensively to be able to have all those high-priced guys. And that's why the Ravens can do what they've done,
right?
Because, you know, their draft picks are – and, like, why the Rams all of a sudden, you know, I mean –
because they traded them all away and finally
Puka,
said
– Puka's a fifth-round – you know, I mean, they hit on all their draft picks.
410-583-1057. Coming up next, buy or sell. Always interesting. Should be again today. Stick around. Vinny and Haney show continues.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now from Window Nation, buy two windows, get two free, and pay nothing until 2027. Offer ending soon. Schedule your free estimate at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
1057. The Fan.
Welcome back, Vinny and Haney Show. It's time for Buy or Sell. Now, full disclosure, I've done this show a lot. This is the one part of the format that confuses me and eludes me. So, Nolan, please take the ball.
All right. Well, Vinny's got us going here with a little stock report.
Yeah. It's all red today, Nolan. All red. The Dow's down 299. The S&P's down 60. The NASDAQ is down 276. DraftKings, woofta, down $1.70. Under Armour's down 14 cents.
Get things started here in the sports topics with the Baltimore Orioles. Gunnar Henderson is slowly making his way back from the injury that's held him out for a majority of spring training. And while he has been swinging in the batting cage for a little over a week, participating in some defensive drills, Brandon Hyde does note that still a ways away from real game activity, and with just six spring games remaining before opening day, well, time's running out for him to get some real at-bats if he's going to have a chance to make the opening day roster. Well, recent news is somewhat encouraging, I guess, the fact that he's doing anything at all, but the idea of being without your best player on opening day, well, that would spoil any fan's mood. Bruce, buy or sell, Henderson will see at least some action in a game between now and Monday to ease our tension.
Well, you're starting out with a tough one here. My head says sell because they're gonna take it easy. My heart says buy because I think they'd love to. I was watching a exhibition game and Ben McDonald was doing it, and he said he felt like Gunnar needed to get about 25 at bats before he's ready to play in a major league. So I guess I'm selling. I guess.
Where would he get the 25 at bats at?
Yeah.
Right. That's the thing. Yeah. Like, if he doesn't get any play time between, right, like, really this week, you know.
Maybe that means you hit the brakes a little bit. He's too good a player to screw around with. I'm just saying.
Right. Over to the NFL, a few teams still looking for a starting quarterback. Of course, backup names continue to fly off the market as well. Now, the draft class this year, it's going to bring some more names to the mix, but as we've noted many times, it's not an overwhelming class for that position this year. So that brings me to a name that actually didn't play in 2024, Ryan Tannehill. Maybe a little surprised that he never latched on somewhere after being let go by Tennessee, but obviously his last days there with the Titans, not strong at all. How does he compare to the average backup in the league right now, even at 36 years old? You got to think that he could hold his own. Vinny, are you buying or selling? We see a Tannehill return in 25.
I'm going to sell it because Pittsburgh was looking for a backup too. And Arthur Smith, you know, had success with Tannehill in Tennessee, and Arthur never brought him in. So I sell it.
We'll go over to a topic here we touched on a little bit earlier, the Bengals. They really had a daunting to-do list this offseason, but got some little extra pressure from Joe Burrow, and they've managed to get deals done for Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. All of that money being shelled out really goes against Cincinnati's reputation, but some people believe that you could possibly have a disgruntled Joe Burrow on your hands if you didn't make those moves, which opens up a whole can of worms. Earlier this offseason, Burrow actually mentioned four players by name that he wants to see come back, Chase and Higgins being two of them, but Mike Gesicki, the tight end, was another. They retained him on a three-year deal, and Trey Hendrickson on the defensive side of the ball, his situation still complicated, but the latest there is that they are talking again after trade attempts didn't go so well.
Well, but is Burrow... Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but anyway, buy or sell, once thought of as impossible, Burrow will actually go 4-for-4 with his offseason wish list. Hendrickson returns as well.
A sell. The Bengals are just horribly run. They're cheap. You know, Vinny, I've seen pictures of the whole team waiting at the street light stoplight so they could cross the street from the stadium to get their practice facility. They're just awful. I can't believe they made this move. And the question I have, is Burrow willing to chop up some of that big contract he's got? Because somebody's got to play defense. You can't give up 100 points a game. So sell, sell, sell.
Staying in the NFL, Mekhi Becton really turned the perception of his career around last year with the Eagles. Remember, his status as a former first-rounder, a tackle at that, really put him under the microscope. Didn't perform well with the Jets, so he lands in Philly, transitions to guard, and actually really benefited from that. Now he gets a two-year payday from the Chargers. Take a look at LA's O-line. Well, they're pretty much set at tackle, so it seems like Becton will presumably continue to hold down a guard spot there. Buy or sell, Vinny, the change in position is permanent. Becton will never play tackle again in his NFL career.
Oh, I'll buy that 1,000%. And the thing with Giro likes those big linemen, you know, so he'll fit in there well with them. So, yeah, he'll never play tackle again. He's too big. You know, I mean, he's like Falele size, or maybe even a little bigger than Falele. And Falele now is, you know, much better guard.
And our last topic here of the day, also something we touched on earlier, but the spring football games in college football, kind of going the way of the dinosaur, or a lot of coaches are hesitant to do it out of fear that opposing teams can easily send people and get some free scouting in from the stands. Well, Deion Sanders, he's got quite the idea here to try to curb that, saying that he would like Colorado and other schools around the country to model themselves after the NFL's training camp and preseason model, where you have a school visit another one for a week, you hold some joint practices, and then play an exhibition game to cap it all off. If you get some premier schools involved, you know the TV money will follow as well. Yeah. But Bruce, buy or sell, this would actually be a great idea to help save the spring game tradition.
Buy, and I'll tell you why. I saw a list a few minutes ago of about 9 different big-time programs that have gone to kind of a skills competition type a spring game, you know, that nobody wants to play the spring game anymore. This could save it. And Nolan, you hit the nail on the head. You get big enough matchups in the spring and the networks are going to come running. I think it's a win-win-win all around.
Better chance, I think, about what, like a Manning with Tennessee?
Yeah.
Or Texas, rather. Yeah. You know, he's had to wait a couple years to play, but the fan base is so rabid to see him out there. Spring game, you get him on TV.
Yeah.
You know, appeal to your fan base, get some recruits out there, get a first look at them.
I don't see a negative.
What people were saying why they were not having spring games, because other teams could come and watch their players, you know, and take them, you know, in the portal.
Right.
You know, and Deion, he goes, listen, if your guy's thinking about leaving, he's leaving. You know, there's nothing you can do, whether you play a game or not. He's gone.
And there's no hiding him anyway.
Right.
I mean, we just got done talking about all the new age scouting. Everything's available online. I mean, if an average fan can get this information, I'm sure the teams and all the coaches know it too.
You could turn what's kind of a pain in the butt into a real positive for everybody involved.
You know what's funny is like, I've got one of my best friends, his grandson is a tight end for a big time school, and he was a backup. He was second team tight end who played a lot, and he's going to be a senior this coming season. Last year he was making $90,000 NIL money, and he was getting calls from other schools offering him like $300,000 and stuff. You know, so I mean, they know, you know, and now he's going into his senior year, and the school that he goes to, getting $500,000.
Wow.
Tight end.
Stay in school, kids.
Stay in school.
Yeah, don't. Hey, if you're not a first or second round pick, stay. You know, I want to play 6 years.
I remember very clearly Angel Reese, who's very outspoken, saying that she took a pay cut to leave LSU for the WNBA. I will never, ever forget that. And if anything explains this era in college sports, it's that right there. All right, coming up, Jake Rill's going to join us. The Vinny and Haney Show continues. Covers the Orioles for MLB.com. It's Jake Rill. Jake, welcome in.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey, we've been talking a lot today about Gunnar Henderson, obviously. You just heard it on the update. Gunnar Henderson, you cover this team. Is he going to be their opening day?
Well, I think they're running out of time. I mean, he definitely needs to get more at-bats. It's been quite some time since he was in game action late February when he sustained this injury. Yeah, I mean, like I said, they're running out of time. If he's going to be ready for opening day, he's going to have to play some games after this off day tomorrow. They're going to have to try to get him enough at-bats over those last few days. As each day goes by, it seems almost less likely he's going to be on the opening day roster, just because you do need to get those at-bats. You need to face live pitching. And they're just running out of games to do it. So I think coming out of this off day tomorrow is going to be a big tell. If he's back in the lineup Thursday, maybe there'll be time for him to get these at-bats. But right now, it's starting to look less likely.
What are you pretty comfortable with what you've seen so far with Jackson Holliday?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this kid's played shortstop his whole life. You know, second base was the bigger test for him, and having to work with the footwork there and try to get adjusted to a new position. I feel like shortstop almost comes a little bit more natural to him. You know, he's definitely got the tools to play there. He played there in high school, was drafted as a shortstop, played there early in the minors. So he has a lot more reps there than at second base. So I think if they need him to fill in at shortstop while Gunner's out, I think he's going to be a fine replacement.
Well, I think a lot of people have been overlooking him in general this whole offseason. You know, the Orioles this, the Orioles that. You don't hear Holiday's name mentioned. He had a rough first year, but he's still a really good player, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, a lot of the talk around him has been the second base defense, some of the aggressiveness on the bases. He wants to use his speed more. He wants to bunt for a hit. But also, I mean, he's just raking. He's hitting over 300 in these Grapefruit League games. Some of those swing adjustments and foot mechanics, the toe tap that he worked with Cody Ashio on late last season, that kind of carried over into his offseason work and is now carried into the spring. I've been really impressed with the quality that the at-bats he's taken. He had a few really good ones in Lakeland on Sunday against a good pitcher in Jack Flaherty. So I think Holiday is poised for a really nice year. I think he's going to be way better than what we saw last year, and I think he could put up much better numbers this season.
Spring training camps close, I believe, this weekend. It's going to be it, and then they start to head north. Who's in the Orioles starting rotation right now, in your view? You're out there every day.
Yeah, Eflin's obviously starting opening day. Morton, Sugano, Kramer, all of those guys are locked in. The big question is whether it's going to be Suarez or Povich in that number five spot. I think at this point they're leaning more toward Povich. He's looked really good in these Grapefruit League starts. They can move Suarez to the bullpen then in that instance, because if Povich doesn't make the rotation, he's probably getting sent back down to AAA.
Right.
And he has not looked like a guy who should be sent back down to AAA. He also gives them a left-handed presence in the rotation, something they don't have. So I think it would make a lot of sense for them to put him in the rotation. He finished the season really strong last year, had a really good September, carried that into the spring. I think he's proven that he's deserving of that spot. And then Albert could just be such a beneficial piece to have in the bullpen. This guy can go 2-3 innings at a time. He can also do these one-inning bursts where his stuff ticks up. He looks really good in those. So Suarez is definitely going to be on the team. It's just a matter of whether he's the number five starter, if he's in the bullpen. And I think it makes the most sense to put Povich in the rotation and slide Albert over to the bullpen.
What have you thought of Mullins' spring thus far?
Yeah, I think he's looked good. He's kind of had a history of being a little bit of a slow starter in spring, but that's never really been an issue for him in the past. He's always picked it up as the season got going, and you know, he's obviously has the proven track record. I think he's going to be very valuable in a leadership role. I mean, there are guys in that outfield mix who are gone now, Austin Hayes, Anthony Santander. I think Cedric's kind of become the leader, maybe not the most vocal guy, but kind of the leads by example. It's going to be very beneficial for the young guys to have him around again this year. I mean, the defense is always going to be there, and that's always going to get him playing time in center field. So I expect him to get off to a solid start. I think he'll be fine.
I tell you, he's really grabbed my imagination this spring just because he's just killing the ball, and that's a machine. They brought him in. He played in Mexico last year. If they can't send him down, right? Can he opt to be released at the end of spring training if he doesn't make the big club?
No, they can send him down. He signed a minor league deal, and he does have two options left.
He's been stinging the ball. He really has.
Yeah, and he's played a ton. I mean, this is one of those guys who, you know, plays almost every day down here because they either need him to start or they need him to go split squad or they bring him in for the late innings. He's looked really good. I don't think he's going to make the opening day roster, obviously. I mean, there's really room for him. But this is a guy who could be an option later in the year. He's really proven that he's gotten a lot better. He's made the batting stance change. He looks way different than he did in those three seasons for Oakland in 2021-22. I think he's an intriguing player. He's a pretty solid defender at second, third. And if he hits like this down at AAA, he's definitely going to push his way into the conversation at least.
Now, are you satisfied from what you've seen from Rutschman that he's back from whatever was ailing him the last half of the season?
Oh, yeah. I think that's one of the biggest takeaways of this camp is that Adley looks much more like himself. Looks like the all-star version of himself that he was in 23, the first half of last season. He looks way better at the plate. He's hitting the ball to the opposite field. He talked about that early in camp, trying to, you know, the swings that he puts on the ball that maybe aren't his A swings, maybe he doesn't hit the ball as well, still getting good results out of that, and that's what he's been able to do. He did that in an early game against the Pirates where he took Skeens the opposite way, poked a single in the left. But he also still has the power. He's shown that too. So I think, you know, this is a guy who came into camp in very good shape, very motivated, wants to put that tough second half from last year behind him, and I think he's in a good position to do that.
We're talking to Jake Real, covers the Orioles for MLB.com. Rodriguez played catch this morning. I guess baby steps for him right now, right?
Yeah, he was shut down for about 7, 8, maybe 9 days. He now kind of has to have a spring training do-over almost. He's going to have to ramp back up. He just restarted the starting program by playing catch. Obviously going to be on the injured list to start opening day. Hopefully the cortisone shot took well, you know, kind of got rid of that inflammation. Only time will tell. So, you know, he's just got to go through it all again. He's got to start back up this throwing program. And then, you know, hopefully he'll be an option again for the Orioles rotation in April or so.
Now, any concerns that you have going in position player wise going into the season?
Position player wise, not a ton. I mean, I think the position player side has looked really good. I think the lineup has been productive. I mean, obviously, I know spring training games aren't the most important thing, but a lot of guys down here are having good camps. Colton Cowser's putting up big numbers. Tyler O'Neill's been really impressive the way he can sting the ball. I think the lineup has the potential to be the biggest strength of this team. I think they're in a very good spot to put up a lot of runs. Maybe the biggest concern is that Gunnar's injury, you know, does linger. That's why they're being so cautious with it now, because they don't want this to be a factor in May, June, something that shuts him down for an extended period of time. So I think the biggest concern right now is just getting Gunnar healthy, because we know how important he is to this lineup and how different the lineup looks without him in it.
All right, Jake Real, we appreciate your time. We're looking forward to the season, and enjoy the rest of the day.
Yep, thank you, guys.
All right, there he goes, Jake Real. Orioles, MLB, recovers the Orioles for MLB.com. Coming up next, the Associated Press has named its men's All-American basketball team. And guess which conference dominated? We'll run it down for you next on the Vinny and Haney Show. The AP All-America basketball, men's basketball team is out. Johnny Broome of Auburn. Cooper Flagg of Duke. No argument there. Alabama's Mark Sears, Purdue's Braden Smith, Walter Clayton Jr. of Florida. 3 out of 5, Vinny, from the SEC.
Mm-hmm. Not shocking.
No, not at all. I got the second team and third team here. JT Toppin, Texas Tech, John Tonji from Wisconsin, P.J. Haggerty from Memphis, and Cam Jones of Marquette, R.J. Lewis from Junior of St. John's. Third team, Hunter Dickinson, Kansas, Ryan Kalkbrenner of Creighton, joined by Ziegler from Tennessee, Eric Dixon, Villanova, Houston's L.J. Crier. Honorable mention, Chaz Lanier, Tennessee, Trey Kaufman, Ren of Purdue, Donovan Dent, New Mexico, Drake Spencer-Sertz, Chucky Hepburn of Louisville. What am I not seeing here, Vinny? I'm not seeing Derek Queen mentioned anywhere, and that's at least a mild surprise.
Some freshman something or other, I'm guessing.
Yeah, but in the season he had, you'd think he'd be on somebody's All-America team. But I told Vinny this during the break. I voted for these things for 20 years. I voted for the AP basketball poll, and they don't take it real seriously. And so I don't put a lot of credence in these All-America teams either for that reason. I mean, Cooper Flagg and the Auburn kid, everybody can agree on it. It's obvious. And, Vinny, I told you this during the break. The Wizards want Cooper Flagg so bad they can't stand it, because they got to do something to jumpstart that franchise, you know?
Well, you got to win a lottery to get him.
I know.
So I guess they'll have more ping pong balls than anybody else. Will they fall right?
What a wreck of a franchise. You know, just give me a reason to pay attention to the Wizards. I can't find one, you know? Also, we alluded to this earlier, but West Virginia's governor, Patrick Morrissey, says the state's going to launch an investigation into the NCAA and the selection committee over how the teams were picked. And that's a day after West Virginia was excluded from the tournament. Vinny, politics, sports, always a bad mix.
Well, you know, the governor, he's probably a big basketball fan, West Virginia
alumnus,
fan.
Alumnus.
Yeah. So, and Pat McAfee, same thing. He was criticizing on TV, too. So, yeah, they're upset, and rightfully so, because they should be in.
The NCAA is a private organization, though. Good luck trying to, I don't know. They always lose lawsuits, though, don't they? I was going to say good luck suing them, but I can't remember the last time the NCAA won a lawsuit.
Yeah, they haven't won many. And you know what? Whenever the Big Ten and SEC wants,
they get.
Well, NCAA will be done anyhow.
Yeah. I agree with you there. I'm glad you said that. I don't see much of a future for them at all.
No, none. They're
ineffectual as they can be. Cliff and White Marsh, what's on your mind?
Hey, Bruce, good to hear from you.
Thanks.
I'm going to make a comment about the draft in a bit for all Benny. Right. But, you know, Bruce, you said yourself, that last game that the Terps played, I really think they were exhausted.
Yeah.
You know, the deeper they get, if they can get deeper into the tournament, you know, the television timeouts are a little longer, yada, yada, yada. They can get in there with the five, just the starting five, but they were exhausted out there.
In the first half, that guy doesn't go full court. He doesn't.
No, they stop the ball, make him throw it out to the side, whatever you do. but they just were exhausted. Vinny, about the draft coming up, I know you want to probably get a corner, and I get it. But, you know, these pass rushers this year, this is an intense group that you should be able to find somebody. Now, the Ravens already have a closer on offense with Henry. They need a closer on defense that when they got the lead in the fourth and they got a pass rush, they're going to get to the quarterback or make him get off his spot. You and I had a discussion last year about Chop Robinson, and I thought he played okay as a
rookie. Yeah, he did.
What do you have, like 7 sacks? You asked me if I would have drafted him before the draft, and I said absolutely. But he might get 10 sacks next year. You never know. Looking at our pass rush, this is the first year Ojabo has not had to sit on the sidelines with an injury. I think personally he's going to step his game up, but if not, he hasn't done one thing on the field yet. You have to get a guy.
Yep.
Now, South Carolina had two players this year in this draft, the safety and this defensive tackle, who's 6'4", 300. He has the best set of hands. It's like he's a martial arts guy, Vinny, if you watch him. He preys on your weakness. He's so good with his hands.
T.J. Sanders?
That's him. And I think he's a guy that the Ravens could move around on that defensive line, generate some pass rush. But I'll take it off air. I wonder what you thought of him when you watched.
All right. Thanks for the call, Cliff.
He's on my list to watch. I've done pass rushers, and I've got 12 of them to do, and then he's down on my defensive lineman to look at. So I'll get to him probably next week.
He mentioned Ojabo. At what point do you run out of patience here?
He's got to make the 53.
Yeah.
You know, out of training camp, and he's got to show something. And in those preseason games, he's got to dominate. He's got to show what he did at Michigan, because right now he was horrible. Last year, horrible.
It's just unfortunate what's happened to him. You know, those of you that don't know, he hurt his Achilles on his pro day, and the Ravens decided to take a chance. It's second round, right?
Second round.
Yeah, and they figured, okay, we're going to see.
I thought it was an awesome pick.
I did too, but it just hasn't. I don't know that he can play. You know, he's got an opportunity.
Stays locked on. You don't see the explosiveness, quickness. You don't see the bend that you saw at Michigan, and totally disappointing.
Yeah. And so you say he's got to make the 53. If he doesn't, he's done. I mean, he's
nobody
out.
Is somebody going to give him a chance? Maybe Jim Harbaugh would give him a chance out in, you know, the Chargers and see what he looks like. But, I mean, if you watch him on film, he does nothing.
Yeah.
You know, he's Velcro.
It makes you appreciate Van Noy. Where would they be without that veteran?
Well, the thing about it is with the veteran pass rushers is, you know, guys that were really good when they were young and they would beat you with speed and stuff, as they get older, they beat you with their brains.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because they have every counter that there is. They've seen every pass set that there is. So, I mean, their hands are working, their mind is working, and that's how they get sacks.
It's an intricate ballet. Very tough to do. And all teams are set up to stop it. So it's always interesting. Coming up, the last hour, hour number four of the Vinny and Haney Show. NFL lunch at the top of the hour, and we got plenty to talk about, including some disgruntlement in the city of the Three Rivers over a certain legendary quarterback. That's all coming up. Stick around.